Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Hey, it's Matt. Rude. Hey, Matt, it's your pal Adam. I'm just checking in.
Hey.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, all right.
You're rolling?
Yes.
You know that, like, Come Boys, we like to do parody songs.
Yeah.
Where we involve having sex with our fathers. So I like to, you know, I'm a little bit more of the news junkie of the crew. So I like to also make parody songs ripped from the headlines, but also have them involve having sex with my father. So so I have a new one I was doing in the shower today. I don't know if it's going to be funny. We can cut it if it's not, but... this is to the tune of Don't Worry, Be Happy. But did that guy kill himself? I remember there was like a thing. Like, do you know that guy that did Don't Worry?
Bobby McFerrin?
Yeah, Bobby McFerrin killed himself.
No, he did not.
Okay, here it is. My daddy's dick is larger than life. Mine is small and naughty, but nice. Don't worry. Coffee fee. So that brings in the meme that we're all talking about, guys. Kafifi, and it's a little bit of flavor about having sex with your dad. So I just wanted to bring, you know, my perspective to the show.
The best memes combine two. The best jokes combine two or more ideas.
Yeah,
exactly.
Adam Friedland joining us, everybody.
We got Adam. Adam in the trap, safe space where he is respected. And I just want to extend our welcome to Adam. You know, our political humor. Kafifi is fake news.
Oh,
yeah. Felix, haven't you been like sort of remixing like '90s like pop punk songs to be about incest and Donald?
Yeah. No, I've been doing that. I have this idea.
We used to do the What's My Age Again. What was
my first joke for What's My Age Again, and I'm afraid this is going to be cut by censorious producers because technically we would get sued. But it's Alan Dershowitz listening to What's My Age Again, and he's like, "Oh wow, this is not at all what I thought it would be about." But no, I was thinking about if. Okay, cool. Yeah, it is bonus. He's probably not a gray wolf, but and it doesn't say accuse him of anything. It's just saying he's listening to it.
You know, somebody yesterday did a tweet joking about how they like just realized that the Blink 182 album title "Take Off Your Pants and Jacket" is like a double entendre with jacket, and it's about masturbating. And it wasn't until I read that tweet that I finally got it.
Wow, you loser.
I never got that. I just thought it was just a stupid phrase.
Dude,
now, 20 years later, I'm like, oh shit, it's about masturbating. Those guys are way cooler than I thought.
Blink-182 has this song called "Stay Together for the Kids," which is about divorce. I was on a nostalgia music video trip a couple weeks ago. And the first frame in like the Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like black with white font, it says 50% of American households are destroyed by divorce. There's like a fucking, oh man, it's the best disclaimer before a music video of all time.
I was reading the Blink 182 Wikipedia article for the same reason, and when I got to Mark Hoppus's one, it was like, I was a really normal kid until my parents got divorced, and that's what made me so twisted that I started Blink 182.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, which one of the Blink 182 frontmen,
Tom,
is now a serious UFO researcher?
Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he started a band called Angels and Airwaves and kept saying things in the media like, I have just created the greatest album in human history. And then he released this album, which is all about like, we're looking at the stars, you know, it's just like, and planets, you know. And then like 6 months later, he says, he released a statement that said, I was on a ton of back pills and I thought I was making the greatest album of all time, but it turns out that I was just in an opioid induced frenzy, and I just used a lot of delay pedals, and you should not take those quotes seriously. But now he's investigating, now he fucking broke the fucking greatest band up to investigate UFOs, that fucking coward.
I saw Mark Hoppus is like a Trump Russia guy now, and I saw someone replying to him They're like, sir, Mr. Hope, sir, do you know if the 25th Amendment will be invoked against President Trump?
This is down a similar path. I was just reading today. Did you guys see the thing about how these two Silicon Valley dipshits have this new
Hope like, has got to be like on their agenda as potential candidates, right?
Yeah, well, check this out. It's called the WTF caucus, and it's like,
so irreverent.
It's these two
there's a swear in there?
Well, no, it doesn't actually stand for what the fuck. It stands for win the future, I think, but it's like a cheeky.
Never mind.
They're these two like Silicon Valley shitheads who are like going to create the next moveon.org to like disrupt the Democratic Party, and they're like, you know, we love the Democratic Party. We think it's gone a little too left in some areas and not enough in others. I wonder which where it is. But anyway, in like mentioned in all of the press about like their platform and this new think tank, and the person they're interested in running for office is the former lead frontman of Third Eye Blind.
Hell yeah.
Stephen Jenkum. Stephen Jenkum. Yeah,
me and my boy Todd Fuck, who started Revolution Partners, we invented the Juicero. We have a new political movement. It's called the N-Word Caucus. I know what you're thinking. It's a double entendre. N-Word is innovate. And we're gonna run the guy from NXS. We're gonna bring him back to life using technology, and he's gonna jack himself off on stage while auto asphyxiating and be like, Donald Trump, sir, this is what you're doing to America.
Sorry, it says the guiding principle behind Win the Future, a new project by the tech duo that's launching in time for July 4th. The effort, called WTF for short, aims to be a new movement and forth within the Democratic Party, which can act like its own virtual party, said Pincus, lead architect, during an interview.
My favorite response to that was from a guy, another tech dick, who says, yeah, you know what, I feel like this is just trying to, you know, stay within the Democratic Party. I think what America needs is a new party, a party of people from both sides who understand the importance of decorum. It should be called the Dignity Party. And it would include people like John Kasich and Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
And everyone who just and Susan Collins and everyone who agrees that we can get together and have common sense solutions as long as we use our inside voices. And the real fucking kick is that the guy in question is the blood-sucking vampire who runs Ticketmaster.
And
one of the worst rent-seeking shitheads of all time. But, and he's like, you know what? I think there's a way in that we could be in the middle.
And his two, like, figures of dignity are a hobo and a woman who faints and vomits all the time.
And Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, didn't they have that song that was about, like, being on meth?
Yeah. Semi-charmed kind of life, bro.
Yeah, exactly. So he would be the perfect candidate to tackle the opioid crisis. You know? And
they also had a song about teen suicide that was Wish You Would Step Back From
That Ledge, My Friend. Cut ties with all the lies.
It should just be all not like Blink-182, that's the Democratic Party. The Third Eye Blind, it's the Radical Moderates. Chumbawamba, that's the leftist. Chumbawamba.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Some 41 is alt right now.
Some 41 is alt right. Tool is now. He's
like
also
Oathkeeper.
Yeah, Oathkeeper situation.
I know my oath fits because I watched the Constitution break. Muslim in office sucking dick. What more can this country take? He's eating dog in the Oval Office. Have you no decency?
Oh man!
Wait a minute. Is that true?
Yeah.
He's made of James Keenan a fucking Oathkeeper.
No, that is Tool. Sorry.
I don't know if he's an oath keeper per se, but he's very right wing. Like, I saw something recently from him where it was like a photo of him and he has a vineyard apparently.
Yeah, no, like, I saw some awful documentary about him building some shitty vineyard in Arizona.
That sounds like the worst
Arizona
thing
wine country.
I think that was
the most arid state in America.
It was a Werner Herzog documentary. He's like how is this crazy man in the middle of the desert who makes professional butt rock?
His songs appear to be about the complicated math that Americans do in high school.
No, he's like
does songs about the cosines.
He's like a Blue Lives Matter guy, and I saw this thing, something online where he was like, it was a photo of him at his vineyard, and he was like, you know, capping it, being like, I got a request like online. Someone asked me if the wines produced here are vegan, and I said they won't be now. And he was like literally like dropping bacon into a cask of wine.
Just and made I was his like, wine worse.
Yeah, nothing like having just rotting meat in a cask of wine. But yeah, that's who the singer of Tool
when
is
you're,
now.
When you're fucking shitting your guts out from trichinosis, you know that you're owning the libs with every bloody bowel movement.
Also, like,
well, I mean, I gotta say, what kind of moron asks if wine is vegan?
Yeah, that's a really stupid question. So.
I was thinking
you know
about
what?
That.
I'm starting to think that actually didn't happen.
No, I was thinking about it, and it's like, since I heard that, I was like, yeah, like 90% of things like this, that question wasn't asked. Like, I see some of these things where they give the guy a perfect setup where it's like, is there a safe space in your gun corporation? So like whatever guy can be like, yeah, there's a safe space. It's called the safety on my gun before I shoot you.
No, that's a real thing. I don't know if it applies to wine, but I know in some liquor production processes they use a filter of some kind that involves an animal product.
Yeah.
Vegans can't drink certain liquors. That's why there are vegan bars.
Yeah, I made a girl dinner once and she refused the wine. And then refused the condoms that I had because those weren't vegan either, apparently. We can cut that from the podcast.
Nope.
Yeah.
She refused you, is what you're saying.
No, I had to go with a boner to the bodega to get Lifestyles, which are vegan. But Trojan apparently uses animal products because she had a phobia of any type of animal. Why am I still talking?
And now well, you know.
What animal product?
I mean, the
is
only
Trojan
animal product
condoms.
Is in
I
like
think the lubricant, maybe.
Hey, well, this is the animal product right here, baby.
Hey.
The only animal product in them is like right on the center of the tip. So if you just like prick that out with a pin and then put it on, you're fine. You're good.
Hey, you know, if you laugh at those vegans, but if the British Army had used vegan gun cartridges, the Sepoy Rebellion never would have happened.
That was when they greased their bullets with like tallow, beef tallow.
Oh, right.
And, like,
beef and pork, and all the Muslims and Hindus.
They
were
pissed
very
off
mad
everyone, basically. But just as long as we're on the topic of, you know, like these sort of like fake outs that people take seriously. Did you guys see the thing about like the new hot thing on the alt-right is making up Antifa protests and then to have people come up to counter protest? So it's like you're kickstarting your own protest by creating a fake one. And the one that happened over the 4th of July weekend was they created they were like, Antifa is going to be burning Confederate flags at the Gettysburg battlefield this weekend. All patriots show up. And a bunch of people did, including one guy who like shot his toe off with a blunderbuss.
Yeah, that rule. Yeah. But that's so instructive because it shows that at this point they're still afraid to show what they actually want. You know, because they basically – that's why free speech is their stupid rallying cry. It's because they are still too circumspect to come out and be like, yeah, white nationalism, that's it. That's what we want. Mm. Because
you're right.
They're worried about a backlash from that. So instead, they need to have some people disrespecting history or some shit to excuse them standing around in their fucking cargo shorts, improperly carrying guns.
Do they actually think they're trolling Antifa by doing this? Like, has anyone ever shown up? Like, hey guys, I'm here for the anti-fascism rally.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like trolling per se as a way to just kind of get their message out there and make Antifa people look bad, or I don't know.
I don't know. I remember that was the Gettysburg thing you're talking about, right? Where the guy shot himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a guy who he was like a fucking 3%er biker guy, and he posted these pictures of a deserted street in Gettysburg with just like some motorcycles there, and says, "Yep, not a single Antifa in sight. I'm out enforcing right now." Yeah.
This is like the bear patrol.
Yeah,
yeah. But
well, I'm not surprised it happened because if you had to have me guess which cast member of 8 Mile would end up in the alt-right, I would have guessed Cheddar Bob.
I think they should keep... I mean, I think Antifa should get behind this and just, like, keep making up fake events, because for these, like, 3%er Oathkeeper, like, so too, middle-aged yeah. guys, it, like, yeah. that's a whole day for them. And this is just wasting their
send
time.
Send them to Burning Man. How yes. hilarious.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah.
I was just tell them say- that there's a massive Antifa protest in the middle of the Nevada desert, and if they're on a unicycle, that means that they hate Reagan. And you should just fucking mow them all down. They don't use currency because they're fucking what is that?
They're burners.
They're burners.
Well, I mean, like, if you actually like want to fight and harm those people, like, most Americans don't know how to fight. It's just every video I see from those rallies where it's like Proud Boy beats the shit out of Antifa. It's just two like a skinny fat guy falling on another skinny fat guy. But if you actually want to harm them, just like let them stand around by themselves, like the
in August heat.
Yeah, one of them will collapse. Like they keep accidentally shooting themselves
or having a heart attack.
That asshole at the Sharia march in New York just had a fucking heart attack and died on the stage.
Take that, Islam.
Yeah, no, I was thinking like about these fake protests. Like, I think we should start doing this and creating like fake Antifa protests to get like Proud Boys and other various Keck related groups to show up to. But it'd be basically like the scene in Police Academy, but we set it at the Blue Oyster Bar.
Oh, me and Virgil were talking about the Armenian guys that like stabbed that Proud Boy the other day.
Who's that guy? He was like the bodyguard of like Baked
Apparently,
Alaska
the
or something.
Fucking stick imbecile has a bodyguard who's just a fat guy. And I don't really know the full outline of the story because all the sources are from them and they just like make shit up all the time. It might as well just be a fucking hoax for to fucking
but first,
rip
like,
people
I saw a photo of that guy in a hospital
yeah, he's
bed.
In a hospital. So their version of the story is they were in fucking downtown Los Angeles or somewhere thereabouts, and they were I guess they were out in full force with their fucking wooden shields and their mismatched helmets and their fucking mop heads, and I guess they were out defending Western cultural values in this area which is dominated by these. This Armenian gang.
Armenian Power, like one of the most terrifying gangs in the world.
Yeah, they, apparently they like pushed MS-13 off their turf once.
Yeah, Glendale. And so, yeah, these people's grandparents were like the people that killed all the collaborators in the Armenian genocide 100 years ago.
Damn.
And so they show up, they're just like in America and they terrify other people who kill people. And then they just see these guys in like hockey masks and wooden shields. And
they're only like, what fucking the cartoon fuck? Frog signs.
Yeah, they're like, oh, kafifi, good sir.
But wait, so like, I saw the photo of that guy like laid up in a hospital bed or whatever, and I was like, this is my bodyguard or whatever. He didn't look like a He didn't. He just looked like it's a. He looked large.
I have a suspicion that did not actually happen. My guess is that they were making Pepe masks at a Kinko's, and he accidentally lanced his scrotum with a three-hole punch.
My guess is he sat in a kitchen drawer.
But I have I nominate that he had like a Pepe tie on under his combat uniform, and it got caught in a hot dog roller.
One of the funniest
things.
It
gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah, that's true. This is true for both the white civilization and the hot dog roller situation.
One of the funniest things I saw from that was that fucking Baked Alaska guy posted. Just heard that Bay Stick Man's bodyguard's in the hospital, heading there right now. Going to start streaming in 15 minutes.
Oh my God, imagine you're like dying and Baked Alaska is like, yo, can I get those hearts going for white civilization? This is the last thing you see before you die.
So, like, we were talking.
Yo, we're doing a rap song for the troops, but only the white ones.
So it dawned on us that. It's not us that the primary Proud Boys, the ones who wear the literal LARP costumes and go around, are reviled by every normal person that they meet in society. Like, Felix was telling me about some video where Proud Boys were just getting beaten up by 14-year-old skater kids.
Yeah, they got chased out of the park by these skateboard kids.
It's like, you see them, it's like, who the fuck are these guys coming up the hill?
Like, some Oath Keepers, speaking of the Oath Keepers, they like in Houston, they like just grabbed some dude in a fucking headlock and pushed him out of their shithead protest because he was waving a bunch of stupid meme placards and they thought that it made them look foolish. I mean, I don't know where they got that.
Oh,
idea.
That video was great.
That video is all. And if you read the comments to the video, just like a bunch of other 14-year-olds, like the guy who got choked, being like, "We're gonna fucking kill that guy." Like, no, you're not. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, they should. I don't know if there's Channel One is still a same thing, but they should start every school day with that video as a scared straight thing. The guy just whining, like they're good memes. I thought, dude, I thought I would make friends.
They're good memes, Brent.
So send them, you know, if you want to make a fake event, just send the Proud Boys anywhere. We liked a place in the Armenian gang territory that's like literally a front. Just say like, oh, they serve halal food.
Yeah. They don't have any refrigerators. That,
Antifa is going to be tagging Confederate monuments in the Pacific garbage patch.
Antifa is doing a die-in in Death Valley for Black Lives Matter. We need to go there with double as many people.
Bring a lot of milk. No water. Just milk.
Yeah.
What I would like the most about this is I presume now the Proud Boys are like, Armenians are no longer white. They're not Caucasian.
Well, they probably thought they could make common cause with the Armenians because they're like, well, you got genocided by Muslims too. Terrifying gang member like sees the guys in the masks and fucking base stick man. And they're like, any normal person's reaction is just immediate bullying. And the AP Armenian power version of that, of bullying, is just to stab someone. So,
well, this is actually a good segue from, you know, the fascist movements of the past and present coming together. I saw this news item just today, and I knew we were having Adam on, and I knew we had to talk about it because this one is also sort of a callback to the last time you were on, Adam. Mm-hmm. One of the things we discussed was NBA basketball player Danny Green's selfie at the Berlin Holocaust Memorial.
Yeah, had to do it one time. Hashtag Holocaust.
Yes. Yeah,
that's probably one of my favorite selfies on the internet.
It's up there.
So fucking good.
It's up there. But to one up the Spurs, Danny Green, there is a now one Clay Higgins. Oh, Clay Higgins from down in Louisiana. He is a Louisiana politician who has recorded a special video. It says, I'm looking at the video right now on YouTube. It says, Clay Higgins has a message for America - from Auschwitz. And I was just thinking, I think we should just watch this. It's 5 minutes. We can edit it down if need be. Yeah. But I think we should just watch this message from Clay Higgins to America from Auschwitz. So,
could be a railroad anywhere, right? Except for this one's at Auschwitz, Birkenau. The expansion of Auschwitz, where four more large gas chambers were built. They could murder 2,000 people at a time. On these rails. Rode those poor souls.
This is like Hank from Breaking Bad talking to you.
Yeah.
Great sense of dread.
Could I get a Mr. Pibb? Well, all right. Have a nice day.
Oh, the shoes. They love the shoes in Holocaust remembrance.
What are those?
All every single one of their shoes looked like a fam.
The devil went down to Auschwitz. He was looking for some souls to steal.
Oh man.
Oh, this should not be as funny as it is.
Oh, fuck. What is his job?
Cyclone. Congressman.
He's in the House. He's a House, but he used to be one of those fucking, like, Felix talked about how the first generation of T-Cats was, like, pissed off small-town cops writing letters to Kanye West.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
That was how he got famous. He was the cop who would write the indignant letters to ungrateful celebrities, and now he's in the fucking Congress.
The guards.
He's literally in a gas chamber right now, shooting like a selfie video.
Cyanide pellets activated.
Y'all
keep those hearts going. Yeah. If you like this.
After about 20 minutes, everyone was dead. And then slave labor.
Boomhauer, keep that camera still.
His Cajun accent is incredibly distracting.
Yeah.
It's like, what you want to do is you want to get some of them Jews down. You want to build some of Cyclone B. And what you get out of that is you got some genocide right there, my friend.
now these Jews ain't have no turlets.
Two 2,000 dead Jews in 15 minutes, I guarantee.
Suffocation cell. Punishment cell.
If you're watching, it's just his giant egg-like head just dominating the frame as he solemnly tells you about the man's inhumanity to man.
Did he just learn about this?
Every year in Europe, they have an event called the Holocaust. We have to stop this.
The world's a smaller place now than it was in World War II.
No, it's not.
The United States is more accessible. Terror like this. It's hard to walk away from gas chambers and ovens without a very sober...
need for a Mr. Pibb.
Commitment. Unwavering commitment. Make damn sure that the United States...
This is like when Warren Schmidt visited the Indian Museum. Those people got a raw deal.
Think of how great it'll be when Trump visits the camp.
Oh,
I can't wait. Wait, what?
Slideshow.
No, that's just some still...
Show that's the show icon. Show icon.
Okay.
Hell yeah,
dude. That was. I'm Representative Gunt Shithead. Primo Levi said that there ain't no monsters, but men who will fulfill their deeds. That's why OSHA has to be stopped.
The last image was like the last image is still. Of just his bowed head covered in a cowboy hat with his arms up.
With his police uniform on.
With his police uniform on, superimposed with an American and Israeli flag.
Hell
over
yeah,
him.
Open letter to Adolf Hitler.
So I remember when Clay Higgins ran for Congress first because he was this Joe Arpaio wannabe who did these Crime Stoppers videos that got him fired because he would just straight up name like local criminals and I'm like that he did the celebrity thing. But before that, you'll be interested to know he's not even really a fucking cop. He was a used car salesman, just
what?
Like all these fucking guys.
Wait, he's still a cop, Valor?
He became a cop through some fucking
like Steven Seagal did,
yeah kind Louisiana. Of like that. Yeah. And then he like had jobs in the fucking police, and now he's still a legal law enforcement agent in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh
while
hell
being
yeah!
A cop.
Yeah, and he places like McDonald's employees under citizen's arrest when they don't give him enough fries.
Yeah, and he's the guy who posted this Facebook thing a couple months ago, just literally just calling for the genocide of Muslims. He's one of the worst people alive.
Oh, that's
no,
so
but you have to have a genocide of Muslims or else they'll genocide us.
Yes, or else, and this is a good view into his apocalyptic mindset that the Muslims are coming because we have open borders and they're going to set up death camps for us.
They're building them right now.
Yeah, that's what every mosque is. That's why they have a curved top. That's how they store all the cyanide gas.
I would say this guy is, you know, setting himself up for a Fox News career, but, you know, he's probably going to be in the Senate in a few years.
He's probably a very red district
in Louisiana.
If Sheriff John Bunnell doesn't beat him to it, he'll be the first cop president.
I just am imagining him detaining, like, teenagers being like, y'all boys ain't planning on doing any Holocaust now, are you?
I'm going to ask you some questions about some local criminals you know. Do you know any Reinhard Heydrich?
I love how that video started off with the train tracks because there's this weird cross-section between train guys and Holocaust people. Where they always talk about how many train tracks there were at Auschwitz. I mean, apparently they were running a ton of trains to get a ton of Jews there.
Yeah.
They were like,
way
yeah,
better
there was
than
like,
the MTA.
There were like 14 consecutive train tracks in the middle of Auschwitz. It was incredibly impressive. the Nazis were able.
Well, there are the Nazis had a very efficient train switching.
Yeah,
system.
Well, they kept them running.
I gotta say, I think this guy's this. I mean, he's getting a lot of heat for this, but I think in the long run, it's gonna blow up in his face because an increasing percentage of his base doesn't think the Holocaust happened.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, like. To, like, most of the people who would otherwise approve of the message of this video, when they see it, like, it's like he might as well be at medieval times for them.
Yeah. A bunch of my friends did this trip. I didn't do it in high school called March of the Living, where they send, like, scared Jewish teenagers to all the camps, and then they and then they send them to Israel afterwards. Rules. They're like, we're going to scare you with the Holocaust and then show you why we need Israel so much. And it's like this, like, I knew, like, a bunch of people that, like, got head and stuff. We're in Poland. Like, I know people that have lost their virginities in Poland because, like, the girls were, like, so upset about seeing, like, Nazi death camps, and, like, these kids would, like, start acting out sexually because they didn't know how to handle, like, the gravity of what they were seeing every day on this fucking terror tour that they take kids on.
Well, like, not only that, going to Poland just in general must suck.
Terrible.
I don't know. Maybe it's fun. Maybe
I think Warsaw is chill.
Maybe
now.
They got a cool club scene there now.
Yeah, I think they do, actually. Yeah.
I mean, I am often just blown away, and I can't even get my head around the fact that the most comfortable, secure people on earth, these exurban, suburban, middle-class people who form the basis of the political support for guys like this shithead, are 100% convinced that there's going to be a genocide of, like, guys with jet skis within 5 years.
Like, oh, yeah.
How the fuck do you have that level of dissonance between your day-to-day life, in which you sit on your fucking fat ass and watch TV, and then you climb in your fucking SUV, and you go and, you know, you go to a fast food restaurant, you get a gigantic burger, and you eat it in total comfort and silence, and you go home and you watch TV again, and you go to your bullshit job, and you do that in air conditioning, and you never confront a single element of your existence that is in any way difficult. You have no difficulties. But while you're going through that life, in your head, you're imagining a world in the very near future where some terrorist is taking an AK-47 and, like, forcing you onto a cattle car to send you to a gas chamber. How do you fucking, like, deal with that kind of dissonance? It's insane.
I think it's a few
things.
It's
genuine psychosis.
I think it's, you know, these people have been fed for the past 16 years the most vicious apocalyptic anti-Muslim propaganda. That, and they also live in incredibly segregated communities. Matt, you saw that picture that went viral recently of the fucking people on the subway? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
I saw it today.
It's a viral picture that shows how great America is.
Oh, and yeah, that Muslim family.
How do we know he's a Muslim guy? He's just like a...
Okay, the photo is...
Close enough!
It was a New York City subway, and it was like a photo of... like two little girls, like, or like a little girl smiling at a baby, like it's like a mother and a daughter who are white, and then I assume a father and daughter who are brown of some kind. Yeah, just brown. Yeah. And the kids are smiling at each other, and everyone is like, this is what makes America great. And I'm like, what a fucking low bar to clear for a country.
It's the lowest. Wait, is this actually shocking to people in the geo-hell that is the middle of the country? And I thought for a second, and I came to the answer, yeah, this is so outside people's normal experiences.
When you're at the Starbucks in, you know, suburban shit-dick Kansas or whatever, you're not seeing anybody who doesn't look like you. So you can imagine anything. And I do think that, like, at the base of this is there's some sort of primal knowledge to these people that the insane comfort they have is not earned. Mm. And that there's some injustice in the world that has allowed them to accrue it. And that there is, like, a cosmic balancing coming. And they're fucking terrified of it. It's like they're all living with that Jefferson quote, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. It's all there in the back of their head that they don't confront it. And they're so mad about the idea that they would ever be called to account for the absolute just debauched splendor, the undeserved splendor that they live in, that they just become obsessed with these fantasies of massive retribution because they know in their hearts that they have it coming.
Like, they know deep down the world is changing in ways way beyond their control. Like, yeah, nothing is ever going to be perfect, but you know, there is, people are always gradually liberalizing on their views, a lot of things, and the world in 50 years is going to look totally different than these people's ideas of how it should be. And they also know that they're not going to do anything. These aren't doers. Their closest thing to action is like going into a voting booth and wedging in there every 2 years to vote for like Gertz Shithead and
Clay Higgins.
And so knowing that they're not going to do anything except like these sort of signaling things like eating Chick-fil-A and carrying guns to a movie theater, they're totally powerless. But with this, with like Trump, with all of like this type of shit, the open calls for genocide, it's more out in the open than it has been in the like 16 years before it, because it seems so much more unavoidable now, and it seems so much closer to them. And like, these people are actually like dying now. We're gonna have so much fewer of these people in 4 years than we do have now, and it's just becoming so apparent to them how little they can change the world to continue in the way that they think it should be.
Well,
and so it's just a spasm.
Don't you think that in the next 100 years, so much of the planet is going to be so uninhabitable that we're going to have these mass population migrations, right? And we're going to have to, at a certain point, account for millions and millions of people having to relocate to different parts of the world. And that's why like Syria is sort of a precursor to, you know, these, what's going to happen, like, you know, these massive, like, dislocated upheavals, groups of people.
Yeah.
So like, I think like effectively, like, we're gonna have this but times 1,000, because there's gonna be, you know, groups, populations that are 1,000 times bigger that the world's gonna have to just decide what to do with, like people from Miami, for instance.
They're not coming here.
Yeah, no.
I don't want them.
Build that wall on the state line of Florida.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Mr. Worldwide, go anywhere else.
Well, yeah, but also, I don't, like, a lot of people don't have the means to even become refugees. And I think in a lot of these cases, people are just going to stay and they're going to die because they have no other choice. People are already dying in Bangladesh. It's a direct consequence.
They're just
going to
stay
change.
In the sea?
I mean, they're going to be in areas with extreme climate events.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the only thing is, like, unless someone like invents something, which is usually how the two things that happen in human history is either like a shitload of people die, like an insane amount of people die, or someone invents something. But
that, I mean, that's,
hey, we'll see.
Honestly, Felix, that is the Simpsons version of what would happen is we have been acting irresponsibly and stupidly for decades, but then someone comes along and develops something that saves us all at the last minute.
Yeah, those are the only two things that ever happen. Something's invented where we don't learn the lesson we should have, or everyone dies and we also don't learn the lesson.
We're making the shift as a civilization to video chat, everybody. But actually,
Camboy civilization.
I just think we're just going to build more and more walls. That's basically it. You know.
Well, actually, this is a good segue to we're talking about building walls. We're talking about insanely entitled and afraid suburban assholes who just hate and fear anyone or anything different than them, and also prank videos online.
Oh, hell yeah!
And I'm bringing this up because I came across this again today. Steven Crowder.
Mm-hmm. My man.
Yeah, we've discussed him, I think, briefly on the show before. But
he has fought Islam so much by putting on a dress and like having sex with men just to own Islam.
He's like, his classic move is the Bugs Bunny as a girl thing, but like he puts on like a very bad
drag outfit,
and then like goes to the women's.
He's
protest.
why the hidden imam stays hidden. He doesn't want to bump into Steve Crowder.
He does. His pranks are just like the dumbest, most thoughtless, like just immediate ideas. He makes James O'Keefe look like the Yes Men.
But okay, so like, well, his latest thing that I saw was that he did this video. I'm just reading here from Conservative Review. It says Steven Crowder exposes tax-free income and racism of illegals. And they're right up of his latest video is that Democrats like to say that the U.S. needs illegal immigrants because they will do the jobs that our Americans are too proud to, and that they benefit because they pay into the system. In his latest video, CRTV host Steven Crowder decided to investigate that myth with shocking results. Crowder and not gay Jared – That's his co-host. This goes by Not Gay Jared.
Very normal.
Hired themselves out in regular.
Regular. Regular man.
It said, hired themselves out as day laborers and competed with migrant workers for work. The illegal immigrant workers did not like that competition at all. So basically Crowder and Not Gay Jared, like they do like a sting where Crowder like pulls up to like a group of day laborers in his like giant pickup truck to negotiate like for like a day's work. And then his friend who's with them underbids all of the Mexicans. And then he's like, okay, I want that guy. Like you hop in the back. And then like they get Mexicans in the back of the truck and then ask for their papers and then yell at them when they don't have them and shit. So I want to just play a little of this video because it was.
Oh, please don't.
Sick of it. Okay.
This is also
just for context.
This is also a classic bit from the Tom Green show, which was a thousand times funnier, I'm sure, which was called Undercutter's Pizza, where he'd follow around a pizza delivery man to houses and then offer a pizza while the delivery guy was up at the door for half the price. And then,
wait, I remember that.
Yeah, the Man Show also did a bit like this, where they pulled a day laborer and then like took him to get a manicure and shit and just hang out for a day.
Yeah, so he's a fucking thief.
Just we're going to play only a little bit of this.
These individuals don't necessarily have a great affinity for American pride, paying taxes, white people, or a good old competition.
Same.
Hey, you guys have papers? You guys have papers? I need papers. Do you have papers?
No, call ICE, you motherfuckers.
So if you caught that there, that was using mariachi music after they literally just said, we'll call ICE on you motherfuckers to some Mexican day laborers.
It's hilarious.
Crowder, yeah, great bit, right?
Great.
Really,
one of the,
really
one
funny.
Of the greats.
Yeah.
Very funny.
so that's Crowder, and I saw that, and it turned my stomach so fucking much. But I remembered that Crowder had a great article a while ago about
virginity?
About virginity, yeah. About how he got married the right way.
Yeah.
And I think I'd like I think it goes a little something like this. So this is the headline here. This is the Fox News opinion. Waiting till the wedding night, getting married the right way by one Stephen Crowder. And the headline, of course, there is a photo of him and his lovely bride. He goes, as anyone who's read my abstinence column here at Fox News Opinion could guess. And abstinence column, of course, does have a hyperlink, and I clicked it. And this goes straight to just another article from 2 years prior that says, why not having sex might be good for you. And he says here, sex, some of us do it, most of us like it, and we all think about it a lot. I know I do. Though I was once told that it was normal. Getting busy really isn't the taboo subject that it once was. So he goes on to talk about how, abstinence is the only taboo left. And if you tell people that you're abstinent, they think that you're not cool. But that's because
that's a checkered handkerchief.
Yeah. So he says, as anyone who's read my abstinence column can guess, my wedding is something I've looked forward to for quite some time. After having tied the knot at the end of August, I can now say beyond all shadow of a doubt that it was everything I'd hoped and prayed that it would be since childhood. I'd also prayed to be bitten by a radioactive spider and develop sticky hands, but I was an idiot. That's it. That's humor.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
He's just keeping it light and funny there.
All right.
That's funny.
He's a humorist in addition to being an abstinence columnist.
Yeah. Let me preface this column by saying, my wife, I have to get used to saying that.
Borat.
My wife.
My wife and I not only wait sexually in every way, no, we didn't pull the Bill Clinton and technically avoid sex.
Hell yeah.
But we didn't shack up.
Right, I busted a nut in her, fam.
We didn't shack up as live-ins, and most importantly, we courted each other in a way that was consistent with our publicly professed values.
Mm.
We did it right.
OTPHJ, over the pants hand job.
Yep.
Classic.
And he goes, feeling judged? I couldn't care less.
You know why? Because my wife and I were judged all throughout our relationship. People laughed, scoffed, and poked fun at the young, celibate, naive Christian couple. I don't like. I mean, I think they were poking fun at you and laughing at you.
No, they fucking didn't. Well, shut the fuck up.
Okay, A, there's nobody.
Everyone avoided talking to you.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone does because you're a grotesque
monster.
Wait,
do you guys know that Steven Crowder is from the show Arthur? You know that.
What?
Steven Crowder was one of the voices in the animated show Arthur.
What? Yeah.
Yes. He wasn't Arthur.
No, get the fuck out of here.
No, it's true.
No, he's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So he must be living off those residuals because certainly his show doesn't.
Well,
make any money.
Wasn't like a main character. He's like a minor voice actor.
Yeah, he was one of like the bunny or I don't know whatever.
No, he wasn't the bunny.
No, not the bunny.
Bunny
I don't
was
know.
A star.
Yeah. He wasn't one of the stars. He was just like a voice actor.
No, there was Arthur the Aardvark, and then there was his sister D.W. the cunt. And
wow!
And she used to fuck everything up.
No, D.W. is a queen. She's all of the memes.
Cunt, and I know Amber's not in the room right now, so I know I'm with my dogs right now. I don't know. But I didn't like her.
What's
okay?
your problem you know, with a woman who speaks up for herself?
I don't know if she spoke up for herself. I think she used to fuck with Arthur's shit all the time. But he was going through some serious changes in life, and he was at an age where he was, you know, maybe hormones were coursing through his body, and you know, we've all seen the famous picture of him with the headphones on the side of his head when his ears were on the top of his head. You know, we know he's just struggling with growing up, and his sister was always there just to highlight how big of a loser he was, and I think that's pretty jacked up. That's friggin'
well,
jacked
I don't know,
up.
I don't know why your reading of the situation is centered on Arthur and his issues
the protagonist
and his values.
And
what about her issues and her inner life?
Aardvark
and her
women
values?
Are never centered. It's true.
I think that she was a bully and a troll, and I think Arthur I identified with because I was around the same age as him, and I was probably going through some of the same aardvark problems.
Okay, so there was Arthur, there's D.W.
Isn't it ironic how Arthur...
D.W. was named after D.W. Griffin.
Yeah.
Who was the famous racist filmmaker.
Yeah, if you thought the stuff that she did that made it into the show was bad.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty ironic that Arthur is such a big hit on Black Twitter, whereas Steven is such a big hit with people who fantasize about murdering black people.
the crossover is.
Yeah. Wait, so who was Steven on the show, Arthur?
We could look it up. I mean, he was one of the guys, yeah.
I'm sure someone will figure it out.
One of the ants. You know, they're still making that show, right?
Arthur?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think they are.
Yeah, bring Steven back to Arthur.
My dad he said that we were in trouble because he was getting rid of the cable, but I think he like got a dispute with the fucking cable company, and he's like, we're getting rid of cable, we're gonna read books, and then I just started watching PBS.
He was the voice of Brain.
Brain.
On Arthur during seasons 5 and 6.
Yeah, he's not living up
to
residuals
from that. Oh, he was the voice of Brain, but he didn't get Brain until he was 27.
Yeah. Wow. Nuts.
Yeah, one of those things.
Well,
going down the Arthur rabbit hole.
Yeah. Fuck's
the aardvark hole, so to speak.
The aardvark hole. Yeah, so back to Crowder here. He says... blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, like okay. So he's pretending that everyone mocked him, which, as Matt pointed out, like A, nobody probably talked to him, and B, there's nobody in his social circle that would think less of him for being as big of an asshole as he is. So he goes, everyone said that we'd never make it to our wedding without shtupping, and if we—he's stealing Jewish valor right there.
Well, it's a classic comedy speak. Yeah.
And if we did, our wedding night would be awkward and terrible. They said. Turns out, people couldn't have been more wrong. Looking back, I think that the women saying those things, he says women saying those things, not men, okay. The women saying those things felt like floozies they ultimately were, and the men with their fickle manhood tied to their pathetic sexual conquests felt threatened. So he goes on and on about this, and they're like, what I like about this story is that it's not just him bragging about how good his wedding night was with his virginal bride, is that he talks about how, like, the day after we ate breakfast at a local inn, we discussed how excited we were to start the rest of our lives together, how scary it was that everything was now so different. At the same time, we overheard the table next to us discussing their very own wedding night from the night prior.
Mm.
What a coincidence. The thing is, nothing's really changed, the bride said.
puzzled, my wife asked.
This happened.
Did you get married last night, too? So did we. Congratulations, the other dame said. Yeah, we did, just last night.
Disgusting.
Where's the groom, my wife innocently, scratch that, naively asked. Oh, he's sleeping. There was no way he was coming out with me this morning. She paused and smirked. Let's just say he's got a lingering headache from a really good time last night. My heart sank. Firstly, that poor schmuck's good time was simply getting snookered, not enjoying the company of close family and long-lost friends with a clear head and clean conscience, not staring in awe at his beautiful new wife, wanting to soak in every glimmer of her eyes as she shot him heart-racing looks from across the dance floor, not taking all of the cheesy pictures as they cut the cake, even carrying her across the sweet threshold as they nervously anticipated their nightcap. He probably won't even remember any of it. Instead, he got smashed. He was that guy at his own freaking wedding. So I like that he's taking this opportunity to shit on this totally imaginary couple. Which, you know, once again, didn't happen. And
that he made up.
But, like, he just made up this person and just being like, because the guy's sleeping in, he just assumes that he was, like, too shit-faced.
Also, so,
like,
what does that have to do with fucking? Right?
It's alcohol.
He's saying that alcohol is bad. He doesn't say that premarital sex is bad.
Well,
I mean, he should just convert to Wahhabism.
Yeah,
if he cares that much about alcohol.
So he goes on and on. He says, then I realized something. Our wedding was truly a once-in-a-lifetime event. It was a God's honest celebration of two completely separate lives now becoming one, physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. Everything that made us who we were individually was becoming what bonded us together. Our family travel. So, like, blah, 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 blah. I'm glad he had a wonderful wedding. I'm glad he's so happy with his wife or whatever. But I like that he needed to invent a theoretical other couple to shit on. Mm-hmm. And then he just goes at the end and says, your wedding can be the most memorable night of your life. Or just another party. Oops, did I just make a judgment? You're darn right I did.
Oh, bitch, go off. I mean, isn't this just all conservatism? You do something that's uncomfortable and shitty and kind of sucks, and then to justify why you're doing it, why you're following these completely arcane, weird rules that, like, you know, if you want to follow them, fine, but you think you're a better person for having done them. Like, you have to invent people that are being mean to you.
Like, I genuinely don't give a shit at all if you want to remain abstinent until wedding and you want to have that kind of relationship. I don't know anyone who would, like, you know, judge someone for that if that's what they've chosen to do. I will laugh and judge at fucking a piece of shit like Steven Crowder every time he opens his mouth, because he's, first of all, I don't believe him and his wife were actually virgins until marriage. Second of all, he's only doing this and writing this so that he can call women who don't wait until I have marriage floozies and harlots and say that the other pathetic men were just, you know, weak compared to me because, you know, my cock got in there first. No one else has ever been in there but me.
So, Will, if I recall correctly, Stephen is, like, original grift was, he was, like, a comedian, right? Like, a stand-up comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was, like, a conservative comic,
And then he did this abstinence column, I guess. And he keeps alluding to being a Christian, but never really specifying it. So, like, any of these values are just skin deep. And then after Breitbart happens, he realized that, oh, the real grift is in this, like, the shock videos. Yeah. And so he started, like, doing, like, just the most execrable pranks against the most vulnerable people in society.
Well, it was like the video he just did with these day laborers where he's like, a fact one, they hate white people. Fact two, like, and then he goes on about how, like, $400 a day, that's 50. He'll do a little math here. Yeah. That's 50 grand a year, tax-free. Like, and I'm like, good, I hope they're getting 50 grand a year tax-free. Yeah,
they're absolutely, like, not getting
50 grand. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think they're working, like,
yeah, they're working every
day,
fucking day. Fucking
well, this is like, so this is an obsession that's on the right, but I also see it on like on Imgur people about not about day laborers, but about homeless people.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you shouldn't give money to homeless people. They make $25 an hour.
It's like everyone is like, yeah, I'm in the know. If I go to a large urban area, I don't give money to the homeless people because it's all a scam. And like from my perspective, I think if you're gonna sit on the sidewalk and just kind of look dour hour after hour, then yeah, I think that's worth $20, $25
an
hour.
Who gives a shit? People make $100 million a year because they were just really good at selling, just tricking people into buying these shitty financial instruments. If like just some guy, if he's gonna pay the price of like flattening his nuts, like fine, I don't care. People grift the system way worse than that. At least he's spending it on something cool like Fent. And not,
my friend's a mind freak street magician, and
oh yeah, the guy who broke his dick.
Yeah, he broke. Our friend. Yeah. He's some might call what he does a grift, but I think it's pretty cool.
But like it broadly, like Crowder, you know, like he's gone through like several iterations. Yeah. But like his main one is that like he was trying to be like the conservative who has the bite of the political comedy apple.
Yeah.
But like they can never get their teeth around it, you know. And I guess like I'm wondering, like there have been attempts at it, there have been stabs at this.
Like, but like after that video,
Red Eye,
yeah, Red Eye, and like that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, and it's just like they're all sort of stillborn, and like it's both because they're genuine. Like the people that it's not like there are unfunny people with reactionary opinions out there, but it's just the people who they always line up for this are terribly. Terribly unfunny.
Well, as we've discussed before, and Felix pointed out, and Matt, it's because they get too mad.
Yeah.
Like once they get too into the weeds of their joke, they start to realize how mad they are about how the libs run everything, and then they just end up doing a rant, which isn't actually comedy. And the other thing is that, of course, Steven Crowder thought he hit the big time with the help of Andrew Breitbart by becoming Fox News's resident impish, you know, provocateur. Kind of a pre-Jesse Waters or parallel Jesse Waters, but they let him go because, as one Fox News executive said, he's not very funny.
No, he's not. And like from that video we saw, it's that's like the big payoff is just screaming, "I'm going to call ICE on you."
He said, "We're
going to
call ICE, motherfucker," over mariachi music.
It's like, best you're, is when he you're got, a monster.
He got knocked
you're
out.
An execrable person.
He got knocked out by that trucker,
old fat union guy.
Yeah,
that was the funniest thing he ever did. But like
that was the funniest thing he ever did.
I mean, like.
I don't think it's like I think that for me, too much of comedy it works both ways, because too much of comedy today, especially with Trump, is people just trying to make good points and people not trying to make jokes. So people are like trying to make these, you know, these great points about like, oh, how Donald Trump's a traitor or whatever. But what you're really getting is just all these guys at fucking open mics in Williamsburg that are like, I'm going to take Trump down with this joke of mine, which is like really honestly fucking pathetic. And, you know, so and also, I don't know. I think that like it doesn't work. I think it works sort of both ways. I think that, you know, you see it with Dennis Miller, you know, he's trying to make jokes about Obama, like by like dropping like Peloponnesian War, like references. Yeah. And he thinks like, that's really going to bring down the fucking house, bro. But like, yeah, it's like, it's pretty pathetic. But I think it's also, the sad thing is that it's sort of happening on the left or whatever you want to, not the, you know, the other side, like the...
Both sides do
yeah,
it.
The I mean, I think John Oliver's show is like well researched, but I don't know if I find it funny. And like, are you really if you have 30 minutes, are you going to really make like have enough time to be funny and to make good points? I think it's like kind of a, it's like that's not really like that good of an idea.
Remember the half hour news hour from like when the Daily Show was really like the prime Jon Stewart, like no matter what you think of his politics, he was actually like a very good comedian for that format. So conservatives were like, well, we can have a funny show too. And then the half hour news hour, which was just all these like bewildered birthright ladies who were like, Democrats have a new tax plan. It's for Monica Lewinsky to give a blowjob. it was so bad. It was kind of endearing. But then now, like, Trevor Noah's in there, and his punchlines and everything, they're as clumsy and like overextended and self-righteous as half hour news hour. So it's
I'm really sad that, you know, I kind of got tired. I like Jon Stewart, and I think he was at doing that job at doing 30 minutes or, you know, 22 minutes of new stand-up every night that's been written for you. It's not an easy job. Like, what Trevor Noah is doing isn't easy. Like, they both do it well, and they're both, like, polished, even if the writing isn't always the best. Like, I admire, like, what they're able to do. But, like, once Colbert started. I thought that it was like doing really satire in a way that like American comedy hasn't really been able to do in so long. And it's such a bummer that that character doesn't exist anymore, because he was able to actually make jokes about what was going on, but do it through the guise of this like lost, like imbecile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like that's...
Well, seeing how, where Colbert has turned into really tells you how just barren and awful the political quote unquote comedy scene during Trump is now.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Because
somebody made a joke to me the other day after the god-awful thing where he was complaining about people saying that Trump is a symptom. He's obviously, like, the disease because, you know, it's not like Trump is just the apotheosis of a million cultural trends that have been going on for years. No, he is this singular thing that has destroyed American discourse, which is just an insane thing to think. And when you look at how insightful and incisive Colbert used to be on this point and how he was making fun of this very trend during the Bush years, it's sort of baffling. But somebody said, no, you don't get it. On his old show, Colbert was satirizing a dipshit conservative. Now he's satirizing dipshit liberals. And that's really the only way to make sense of his show.
I mean, I think he's brilliant. Like
him and Stranger to the Can.
Oh,
one of the funniest shows, one of the most underrated comedy shows of the last few years.
I completely agree, but I just miss that character so much. And I think that he's... I mean, I know that his ratings are good now because everyone's like fuck Jimmy Fallon. Like he's like trying to do Jay Leno, like both sides are crazy. the left is crazy and the right is crazy too. And I don't know.
Can you hear about the Proud Boys?
Seriously, folks, watch out. Antifa are putting razor blades in apples. Seriously, folks, have you noticed that it's always interracial couples and soup ads? What's wrong with a white couple? Kevin, you know I'm not racist.
Oh, the best is when he used to...
Kevin, I gotta say, you know, being racially intelligent is not being prejudiced.
Yeah, the best was when
Kevin,
he used
Kevin,
to
you hear about this bell curve? You hear about this?
He used to do that bit jaywalking, like out on the street, like his man on the street thing. And he like asked people like civics questions, and when they didn't get it wrong, he'd be like, ah, you're a fucking idiot. who was the first president? They'd be like, I don't know, Thomas Jefferson. He'd be like, oh, look at this fucking idiot on Hollywood Boulevard, where the smartest people in the world are supposed to be. That's the best thing with that fucking star shit. That meme, that star meme, is like, that just Hollywood Boulevard should just be fucking bulldozed. It is the worst place in America. That's like where, like, you know, the fucking like homeless Spider-Man is, like. And fucking like athlete's foot Pikachu and like all those like fucking caricatures that you have to like pay money to take pictures with. It's like
Times Square.
It's like Times Square. It's like people are going to honor the president in Times Square. It's like the most fucking pathetic.
I gotta say, when the day that some dipshit going there, either way, like to shit on the Trump star or to polish it, gets like stabbed by one of those people dressed up like a superhero, that will make it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like hyperdermic
like
needle Elmo.
Superman like break somebody's neck while they're spray painting the Trump star, that'll make it all worthwhile.
That Antifa Deadpool owns Trump's murder.
Oh, that's the next thing, is all these people have to dress up. Like, there has to be like a Black Block Neo, a Proud Boy fucking Cable from X-Men. just make Hollywood Boulevard, like, make that the battleground. That's the only place where they can fight.
I really want to meet Oath Keeper Batman on his hover round.
Yeah.
All right, you guys want to do this this Ben Shapiro Virgin article?
Let's do it, boys.
Locked and loaded. Okay, so I was doing Crowder and his Virgin article, which I didn't believe. And then I remember Ben Shapiro, show favorite, friend of the show, a constantly recurring guest. He also had a Virgin article. He had a whole book about this. And unlike Steven, I actually believe Ben.
Yeah. Yep.
This is in Town Hall from 2005 under the headline, Rescuing a Generation. This is Ben Shapiro.
This is an historic article.
Ben Shapiro, this is a historic post here. He says, as I explained in my new book, Porn Generation, how social liberalism is corrupting our future. In today's America, being a proud virgin is no easy task.
those with values are under attack. In a culture that treasures tolerance above morality. It's no wonder that because of my outspoken advocacy of traditional morality in general, and of virginity in particular, I've become a favorite target of internet leftists who often refer to me as, quote, the Virgin Ben. He goes, the internet is riddled with writing like this, quote, in Ben's case, it is helpful to remember that some people choose celibacy while others have it thrust upon them. Poor Ben. He no more chose abstinence than Clarice Thomas chose to be black.
Incel.
Yep. And then another one. The Virgin Ben also apparently has never had a really great Saturday night. The Virgin Ben, indeed. This guy's interview so completely reeks of repression that I almost feel violated reading it. Like I stepped in someone else's wet dream. It's freaking eerie, man. So he just goes on to list all the things people have said about him. And he goes, such heated, inarticulate, and unreasoned hatred for moral standards should not be shocking.
Not an argument!
Social liberalism seeks to promote a live and let live society, wherein all types of deviant behavior is tolerated and accepted. And by deviant behavior, he means getting your dick wet before your wedding night. Or, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make that male-oriented. It means, you know, having sex before your wedding night, experiencing the wonders of magic of human sexuality before a priest or rabbi gives
also,
you
also, he also means gay people.
Obviously he means anyone, yeah. So he goes, those on the left have thrust their notion of a civilized, amoral society upon all of us. The fact of the matter is that a live and let live directly contradicts the notion of a communal society. We all have to abide by certain rules to live together. An amoral society minimizes the rules which we live together.
Is this the fucking doctor from hell? This is exactly what he said.
Any change in those rules is bound to affect us all.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no,
none
it's
of this
not.
Is, no, none
no,
of this
it
is
really,
true.
It really
you also
isn't.
You also don't support a communal society.
Yeah,
support some kind of small government fucking libertarian psychotic thing.
This reminds me a lot of that. Do you remember that kid Prulane 2 Forever, that YouTube account?
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was like this like little kid that, you know, was growing up on the internet and not that self aware, but he had some amazing videos. My friend Brandon Wardell used to be really obsessed with him when he was in high school. But he had one that was like, hey everyone, stop looking at porn. I'm sick and tired of all these guys looking at porn. Just go find a girl and have sex with her. It's like pretty much as like advanced and nuanced as Ben's argument here.
And he's going on by discarding traditional morality in favor of amoralism, we have catered to the lowest common denominator. Social liberals have taken control of our culture through music, film, television, and other mass media. R-rated films today often include softcore pornography. Television shows like Friends promote a fun-filled, promiscuous lifestyle with no consequences. Friends is his example of rampant amorality.
Yes.
Why
Friends.
Didn't Rachel get scabies at any point? That's bullshit.
Friends.
What the fuck? Like, should they have stoned Monica to death? Like, what the fuck?
Can someone tell me how they're living in such a nice apartment?
How come they're on time to everything in New York City?
He continues. Rap music is misogynistic,
yeah.
Glorifying its own degradation. Pop music holds aloft cultural wrecking balls like Madonna as empowered feminist heroes. He's writing this in 2005,
that's
by
so
the way.
Old.
Friends
yeah.
and Madonna were like 10 years gone by that point.
Oh, even more. Like, yeah. Being a, like the moral panic about Madonna was like 1984.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a virgin.
Yeah.
He's but, just copying grown-ups.
Advertisers.
Yeah, he is. That's his
yeah.
whole thing.
That's his
it's like he's just been inside reading like Edmund Burke his entire life, so he watches Married with Children and he's like, oh, this is what culture is, this is what we're still
no,
talking
Ben
about
was, Ben was definitely one of those I listen to real music, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones.
I listen to a little guy named Beethoven and Civil War marches.
Ben also says advertisers take advantage of sex sells phenomenon to push our culture to new lows, while teen magazines for young girls push boy craziness and dispense dating and sex advice. Ben is worried that teenage girls are too boy crazy.
Oh man, he's just copying grown-ups.
Yeah.
He's just like he's just one of those kids that was
speak and say like puppets who just like just says what like the adults are in his community around him.
Oh,
like,
I feel so bad. Because those kind of kids used to just get bullied so bad. I mean, he's a piece of shit, obviously. Yeah. But like, there was a kid I went to school with that was like that, who shit his pants in third grade, and like he was one of those like, listen to the teachers, guys. Yep.
And then, like, that's Ben, and that was Ben's original grift, was the college student who's actually conservative and like sexually conservative for an audience of like 80-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
Who all think like his bow tie and his roller backpack are like, just incredibly cute. And so he writes books that are like porn generation.
Yeah. I mean, that's
well,
all
he just wants to meet the granddaughters.
I mean, yeah, like going back to Steven Crowder, if you like look at his Facebook, like there's like an all right amount of views on his videos. Of course, he does like 1/10 of what any Let's Play guy does. But
like Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah. All the Battlefield guys that I like to watch, but I do have three favorites. But you think about it, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, there are just like a lot of 60-year-olds who like do now know how to use a computer. And of course, the first thing they'll see is like the very good boy who likes the grown-ups and tells nice jokes
He's
about the Muslim rape gangs.
He's
and,
a
like,
hep cat.
Not jacking off. Yeah.
You know, from there, he became, he got made fun of a lot and like just wrote a bunch of articles like this that are just quoting like fucking Daily Coast and Fire Dog Lake, just ripping on him.
Yeah.
And from there, he wore that as a badge of honor where everyone's like, Ben, you're pathetic. Ben, you're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Ben, they didn't send the fucking weapons of mass destruction to Iran from Iraq. What the fuck are you talking about? He took that to mean, oh, he's so low that he must be correct. And his new shtick is, I'm the logic guy. I'm facts don't care about your feelings. I do facts and reason. But it's not facts. It's sophistry.
The best one of the best Ben Shapiro videos is when he's on that dais with this trans woman who's in the OJ documentary. You remember the helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Ben was like telling her like that she's not a woman, and he's like, "Yeah, facts don't care about your feelings." And then she's like, "You better watch your tongue, sweetie, because you could leave here in a stretcher." And he's like, this woman has she has threatened my life. I will be telling the police.
Yeah, that I think that sums up Ben.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, it was just fucking tattletale. That kid who shit his pants. Like, I think he's like a research doctor now. But like, literally everyone from my third grade is like, "Oh, yo, you know what Eric's up to?" It's like, "Oh, you mean Eric has shit his pants?" I think like no matter what he accomplishes in life, he'll always be the kid who shit his pants.
I mean, that's like that's probably the plurality of the conservative movement. It's the roller backpack kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz yeah. is the kid who, starting in eighth grade, shows up to class in suits and is like, "Good morning, my dear sir," to the teacher, and has just been called a faggot so many times.
His like senior quote was like, "I'm going to take over the world." Like, yeah, like those kids that think that they're like evil masterminds.
Oh, no,
like Ted Cruz.
In like seventh grade, my friend took like this summer math class so he wouldn't have to take a requirement going into eighth grade, and he told me about this kid who was like, "I'm not taking it because I don't want the requirement. I want to advance. I want to be a genius." And that kid is probably Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
Like, he probably works in the White House.
Yeah, those kids that think they're evil masterminds are the best. Like the puny humans kids.
Yeah.
You simple humans. It's like, shut the fuck up, Jared, dude. Like, we're trying to learn.
Just last thing about Ben and his assault on the porn generation. he says here, "We live in an America that makes Paris Hilton a cultural icon and Jenna Jameson a New York Times best-selling author." I bring that up only because Ben and Jenna are now Twitter buds.
Yeah.
And they chat on Twitter because Jenna Jameson apparently loves Ben Shapiro now. She's a big Shapiro head.
But I thought
she
loves
Trump. Yeah,
she
got engaged to some like Israeli diamond dealer. And now she's just straight up Likudnik.
You know who she dated before?
The MMA.
Tito Ortiz, the dumbest fighter in existence. He
spoke at the RNC, did he?
Yeah, Dana White spoke at the RNC and was like...
But he spoke at Trump rallies, Tito
He spoke
Ortiz.
At Trump rallies, and it wasn't political. He was just like, when the UFC was down in the dumps, Donald Trump said, I'm going to come fucking fight. And that's what he's going to do for us.
And I was like, all right.
That's like less crazy than the other shit.
He's going to come. Donald Trump is going to show up at all of our pageants.
But, what I love about like that Ben wrote a whole book about pornography is like, imagine the research.
Like not watching porn?
Yeah, yeah. All the not he had just watching pornography.
I went undercover in the bank bus. I took a job as the bank bus driver for several sordid months.
Those girls are not amateurs. They're clearly professionals.
I've seen them
at other works.
I don't like to compare ourselves to our heroes in arms protecting us against radical Islam, but I took a hot load to the back of the neck.
But I think it's really touching and nice. I think it's really nice that Ben and Jenna are friends now.
Yeah.
And like Jenna is like she's like she tweets about like campus snowflakes. Like that's her whole like
Wait, but I thought she was real Trump, but he's real never Trump.
Yeah, but that like yeah, they believe but, the I mean, same no, shit. They yeah. believe the same shit, you know. Yeah.
Like there's no real cognitive dissonance there.
It's
like,
really just about who's better at brutalizing poor people and Muslims. That's yeah, really Yeah, like that's what the Never Trump movement is for guys like Ben, that Trump isn't going to efficiently terrorize people in the way
like
that he likes.
He's too dumb to carry out the great purge that needs to happen of the undesirables.
There are levels of intricacies of the Gideon Protocol that he cannot even begin to understand.
All right, guys. A-okay? Adam?
Very good.
Yeah,
thanks again
thank
for joining
so
us,
much.
Man.
Thank you, boys.
Always a pleasure.
We were so excited to do the return, Adam's return.
By the way, Adam. By the way, Adam is creeping up on Derek Davison.
Ooh, yeah, that's right.
As the number one Chapo guest,
who's Derek Davison.
Well, it's weird.
Doesn't matter.
Adam and Derek are both Rand Corporation scholars,
and they're both Middle East experts.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I do have a degree in Middle Eastern studies, which I got before the Arab Spring. So everything I learned is pretty useful, guys. All the books ended in like question marks. Like they were like, "Do we know what happens next? Not sure."
All right, guys. Cheers. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.